Save big money on everything for your next bathroom project. Now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Written by a nice reporter. Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said. This is 14 years ago. They didn't do a retraction.
Donald Trump has denied mocking a reporter's physical disability. Good morning on this great day, this Black Friday. I'm Dominic Carter in for Geraldo. It is so nice to be here with you today. This first hour, we are taking on Donald Trump and this latest controversy. Trump finds himself in hot water this morning. He denies that he knew of any disability of this reporter. We're taking your calls. 1-866-Geraldo. 1-866-437-2536. Did you take part in the Black Friday sales today, getting up early in the morning? Did you save any money on what has become an annual tradition, a festive tradition for all of us? But there's also the other side of Black Friday. I don't mean to be negative starting off the show, but it's also become an annual tradition of brutal fights breaking out in several U.S. malls as shoppers quickly trade holiday cheer for violence. In Chicago, this morning on Black Friday, the situation where a major protest is expected following the police shooting of 16-year-old Chicago teen Laquan McDonald being shot 16 times by Officer Jason Van Dyke. 1-866-Geraldo. 1-866-Geraldo this morning. Now, I get it. I get it. I understand. I understand the tradition of minorities historically feeling that a course of action to have done right by them has been historically protest. I get it. Don't get me wrong here, but at the same time, I want to know, and this is just how I feel. I'm not excusing the fact that this young man was shot 16 times, but I am also asking at the same time, apparently he had drugs in his system, walking through the street with a knife in his hand and vandalizing property. You decide. I'm just putting it out there for you this morning. I would like to see that same energy. I get it about protesting. I understand. But how about that same energy towards education? I get it. But how about the rate of high school dropouts in urban America? I get it. I understand. But let's put the same energy towards that, towards things about being productive and bettering ourselves on this Black Friday. A lot is going on this morning. But I also want to point out, because I've had a firsthand observation of this, education. My wife, Marilyn Carter, runs an academic program at Manhattan College in Riverdale in the Bronx. And she has done this for about 20 years. And so I have a good hand account of this. Do you know that most colleges have programs to find students to come to college? To actually go out in many minority communities, but all communities, and they have to find students to attend college. So you can protest in Chicago. You can protest in New York. But I also say, what about the four police officers that we have lost, the NYPD, in an 11-month period. And so my wife has to go out and find students to get them to go to school. I'm talking, folks, about something that I know. Don't tell me that the opportunity is not there. I went to college myself on a similar program. Came out of New York City, five high schools in 4 years in the Bronx. Started at Cardinal Hayes High School on the Grand Concourse in the Bronx. Went to DeWitt Clinton from there, also in the Bronx. To John F. Kennedy High School in the Bronx. Moved out to Seattle, Washington for about a year. Came back and graduated on time from Theodore Roosevelt High School in the Bronx. The year was 1982. And I am telling you, you know, we can attack affirmative action and so on, but the program I'm about to refer to, it's called the Educational Opportunity Program. It's not necessarily affirmative action because it's open to everyone. And most of the kids in these types of programs that I went to college on come from upstate New York, from farming type communities. And so the state of New York took a gamble on me. That's why I'm on the radio right now. That's why I'm on television every day. The state of New York took a gamble on me. Don't tell me the opportunity is not there. The state of New York, via taxpayers, made it possible for me to eat, go to college, gain confidence in myself, out of the projects in the Bronx, graduated in 3 years from SUNY Cortland upstate, and then went on to graduate school at Syracuse University. But the topic, so I understand that you're protesting in Chicago, but how about turning out hundreds and thousands to get your education? How about turning out hundreds and thousands to open up a book and go to school and not pay as much attention to all the things that are going on in the community? We're starting this hour with Donald Trump. Let's go to line two, Daniel, who's calling from Edison, New Jersey. Good morning, Daniel. You're on WABC.
Good morning, Dominic. You know, they've been attacking Donald for the last 6 months. They got to stick to the issues. It's ISIS, ISIS, ISIS. We got an administration. They're not doing anything to keep our people together. They keep playing these games. The American people are not stupid. They see what mainstream media is doing. And I say I'm grateful for you and Geraldo, because you've given us the truth. You give the American people the truth, we know what to do. I mean, Dominic, you're incredible. You should get more airtime.
Well, thank
you. You're one of the most fair people in the business. And
well,
we need more of you, because the American people, we're talking about our history for the next 50 years. This is going to be the biggest election in American history, the most important.
Who are you voting for?
Absolutely, Donald Trump. I love my country. I believe in my country. We have the greatest people. We've got the greatest military. And they suffer with the Veterans Administration. There are so many issues, but you got to stick to the issues. ISIS, they are trying to kill us, and people are out playing golf. They're talking about Donald Trump. He don't do this. He don't. I mean, it's crazy.
But what about? I have a son that has epilepsy, so I'm very sensitive to disabilities, learning disabilities, and so on. What about Mr. Trump apparently mocking this journalist? He claims that that's not what he was doing, but this has become a habit for Mr. Trump. He does what he does, and then he says he didn't do what we clearly saw him do.
I would ask Donald Trump right in his face again to deal with the issue. He doesn't back down from anything, and in my heart, I don't believe this man would attack anybody like that. This is the game. This is a dirty game. The way they play and attack each other.
You are correct. You are correct in that assessment. I've known Mr. Trump professionally and personally. He's never said anything to me personally that's been racist. I mean, I wouldn't expect him to do so. Or he's never said anything privately to me that offends anyone else. We thank you for the call. Let's now go to James. James is calling us this morning from Manhattan. Good morning, James. You're on WABC.
Hey, Dominic, I wanted to applaud you for yesterday. The show was amazing. There was a gentleman who called in and talked about some of the ramifications and the setup of the Chicago situation, you know, the family structure, all that.
Yes.
And you let him talk for quite a while.
Yes.
You were very receptive. And it seemed like you were kind of seconding his opinion, but you were letting him say it. And it was really incredible because it's really sad. The same thing keeps happening over and over and over again. You mentioned you crossed the street as a grown man to get away from young you know, young kids and mobs, whatever.
I wasn't always that way. I'm almost embarrassed, you know, having grown up, if you will, in the hood, in the Bronx.
I'm a 43-year-old who grew up in the Seaview houses in Canarsie, and I feel the same way, But the thing is that amazes me is no one ever thinks about what these men in blue go through, because they receive horrible treatment from these children all the time, 24 hours
disgusting.
A day. And you know, that's a stressful situation. He didn't need to pull the trigger 16 times. That's horrible. Horrible. The kid's got drugs in his system, from what I understand from you. And he's slashing police tires? Is that what I heard?
He was slashing vehicles.
This is not a Cub Scout. This is not a good kid. You know, and I know it's just such a setup. And the press is so disgraceful on it. And I really appreciate you being, you know, forthright about it. And you're to be applauded.
Well, thank you very much. Let's go to Michael calling from Manhattan. You're on WABC this morning, Michael.
Yeah. Before I say something about Trump, I want to say something about the kid that got killed and your comments. You seem to be very unsympathetic to young black people, Dominic.
No.
I've been listening to you for a while.
No, not at all. Wait, I'm going to give you your say. I'm not going to cut you off. Let me just give you the perspective where I'm coming from. When I started in journalism, the first trial that I was scared to death, the first trial that I covered was Eleanor Bumpers in the Bronx. And I watched those autopsy photos. I don't know if you've ever seen a photo when someone's been hit with a shotgun blast. And so the officer in that case was acquitted. But I've been covering these cases from talking to Amadou Diallo's mother. I've been with the mothers of victims when they're crying so badly they can't even breathe. They can't get words out. So I understand the perspective that you're coming from. But we have to be honest about this and call it.
Okay.
So what? So we should just excuse the fact that this kid apparently is high. There's no reason to be shot dead and walking around with a knife in his hand?
Let me say something about that high thing. Every time, first of all, the medical examiners and the coroners usually work for the city government. They always say PCBs in their system. That's the first thing that when they want to cover up police misconduct, because PCB is angel dust, which is the most erratic, crazy drug in the world. And that's the first thing the police and the coroners plot together is to put the PCB lie out there. So unless there was an independent coroner who made that conclusion, I wouldn't believe the PCB. I don't even know anyone using PCB or PCP. Here in 2015. That's an old school drug that's hard to even come across. But anyway, I want to say something about Trump. Trump has turned into a real buffoon. He has insulted every group in this country except one. Once he insults Israel or the Jews, then he'll be gone. But until he insults the Jews or Israel, he'll be able to get away with murder in this country with his big mouth, and he's going to destroy this country. He's going to have America isolated around the world. No one's going to want to come to America or do business with America if that idiot is in the White House. And it will be probably riots in the street. If he's elected, there will be riots and mayhem in America. The Latinos are going to riot. And if he tries to deport 20 million Latinos, they're going to turn into terrorists. The Latinos among us will go into a terrorist mode to show their contempt. Blacks are totally disenfranchised with Trump. And now the disabled and the wheelchairs are going to probably try to roll them over too. So, I mean, but he's a disaster for America.
I thank you for your call this morning. It is time for a break here on WABC. Good morning on this Black Friday. I'm Dominic Carter in for Geraldo Rivera. Glad to be here with you on this beautiful Friday. Let's go to Staten Island now. And Anthony, we say good morning to you, Anthony. You're on WABC. Anthony? Okay, let's go to Joe, who's calling from Orange County, New York.
Hi, Dominic.
Good morning.
Dominic, listen, you know, Trump's he's a troll. You know, he says obnoxious things. I have to laugh because a long time ago, Obama was bowling, and he said he bowled like a handicapped person. I have a son with disabilities like you do, too. And nobody got real upset about Obama. They forgot about it. But
Joe, are you as a dad of a child with a disability, what's your child's disability?
You know, he was born with hypoxia. He has ADD and a bunch of other things.
Are you offended by what Mr. Trump said?
Yeah, sure. I was offended by what Obama said, too. You know, my son actually still to this day talks about what Obama said. He says, oh, he's prejudiced against handicapped people. I don't see the rest of the world, when Obama said it, going nuts. And not, they should go nuts when, you know, Trump's a trog. You know, he's just he's a troll under a bridge, and it's the fault of the Republicans. It's the fault of the Democrats. Their people are tired of political correctness. Now you have the opposite of political correctness, where everything that comes out of his mouth is not politically correct, and people are tired of it. You know, they're tired of what's going on in Chicago, and Trump's the only one that has the balls.
When you say tired of what's going on in Chicago, elaborate.
Oh, you know, Black Lives Matter, this and that. All lives matter, and I've always felt that it was a blue versus black problem. You know, when it comes to the police are bombarded every day by a bad situation, whether they're black policemen.
Do you realize, and anyone that knows my past knows that I've covered all the high profile alleged brutality cases out of New York City. You know, I didn't understand this. My best friend is an African-American police officer in the state of Georgia, in Atlanta. And he says to me, you know, Dominic, he says, call after call, he says, all we get in inner city communities is one negative situation after another, the entire day, all day long. Would you want to deal with that?
No. And the black police officers who've made the middle class, they're police officers now, like the man who drove the truck. You know, the man who drove the truck in, where was it, Baltimore? He was a black police officer. I really think that the black police officers, after a while, start sitting there saying, what's going on in my community? I think you were alluding to that before. And they're big issues when you don't have parents and you don't have, you know, you don't have a family structure. And these are the things police are dealing with. I'm not excusing a guy for shooting somebody 18 times.
16.
Somebody for being high and slashing tires.
Thank you. That's my point. We have to look at every side. We thank you for the call. Let's go to East Brunswick and Bill. Good morning, Bill. You're in WABC.
Hey, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I will echo some of what the prior caller said. You know, I think that first of all, I'm not a Trump supporter. However, I think that even, you know, magazines on the left like Mother Jones say, you know, that Trump is tapping into something that I think a lot of people feel. That for some reason, both political parties seem to not be listening to people's concerns, and there are real effects on people who don't share the values of traditional America, affecting basically how people are raised. I teach my kids Martin Luther King Jr.'s thoughts. Judge by the content of the character. That's what we want to teach our kids. But time and again, they're being bombarded with this identity politics that they need to feel guilty about who they are or that they're a victim. And it doesn't work. This is, you know, America's not perfect, but certainly compared to the rest of the world, millions of people came to these shores in an effort to try for a better life. And I think that when you look at the problem of certain communities, I think that they have to have a deeper look inwards at their problem. The fact that a lot of these kids are being raised without fathers is a massive problem. It is so overwhelmingly massive. And I wish that the president, who could have done such an amazing job at eliminating, reducing, talking about the problems that these communities have, instead, I think, has been the most divisive president and has been extraordinarily disappointing to me as a white American. I certainly hope that he would bring people together, but he doesn't seem to be doing so. And that's because the policies of the left economically have been a disaster for these communities. And I think that until they honestly take a look and say, this hasn't been working for a generation or two now, and reverse course, traditional economic policies of America, free market.
It definitely hasn't been working. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Deborah Vett Valentine's up with news headlines right now.
Written by a nice reporter. Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said. This is 14 years ago. They didn't do a retraction.
Donald Trump in hot water again, following, he's denying that he was mocking a reporter's physical disability. This all stems from the fact that this reporter was at the Washington Post at the time, and as is the reporter that wrote the article as it relates to Muslims celebrating allegedly in Jersey City. The reporter was recently on MSNBC and denied basically his own story from years ago. And Trump lashed out. That's what all of this stems from. I've known Donald Trump. I know him to be a great guy. He needs to apologize on this one. Donald Trump needs to apologize on this one. Maybe I'm a bit more sensitive than most. I have a son with epilepsy who's had to fight for every inch of his life. A son that, you know, would do very well and then unfortunately pass out and have a seizure. A son that, and for people with disabilities, I know them to be three times the people we are because they have to work three times harder than any of us. It's not right to make fun of someone's disability. Donald Trump is bigger than that. Louis in Staten Island, good morning. You're on WABC.
Dominic, you there?
I'm here.
How you doing, buddy? Yeah, this is Louis from Coney Island. I just want, about 15 years ago, I drove Ed Stanzik to be interviewed by you many, many years ago. And I've been a fan of yours forever. They're one of the finest.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're one of the, and I have dealt with journalists that just up close and personal, and you're the best.
Thank you.
I just, as a retired detective and veteran, I love this country and I love this citizen. I'm very disappointed as of late at the conduct of Donald Trump and the way he has presented himself to the American people. I am still in his corner, but I'm a little afraid, and I've never been involved in politics as I am over here.
So you're still in his corner, but you're a little afraid for what, Louis?
The way he presents himself and some of the things he said and some of the things he's getting caught up in. This last one with this gentleman who was disabled, I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. But I'm just starting to have second guesses. But as of now, I am still 40. I am still 40. And if you could appreciate that, I am still 40. I just want to say another thing. I have seen many, many autopsy reports of massive trauma and push-up.
It's not a pretty sight, Louis. It's not a pretty sight at all. I thank you. I'm sorry. Quickly. Go ahead, Louis.
No, I just want to say one thing. I shoot hundreds of them, unfortunately. But I believe these shootings, African-Americans or white police officers. Yes, I've seen the videos, but Dominic, they're very, like it's less than 0.5% of 1% of the shootings that they get involved in. And I don't believe any police officer gets up in the morning and wants to go to work to fire his gun.
You are correct, Louis, and I agree with that assessment. When you talk to members of the NYPD, law enforcement around the tri-state area, and this is something police officers say to me all the time. You see, I can't win sometimes. When I call it the way I see it, if it's perceived that I'm siding with the police, then I'm anti-community. And if it's perceived that I see it the way the community sees it, then I'm anti-cop. I call it the way that I see it. But Louis was correct. I have never met a single police officer, not one, zero, that wakes up and says, oh, I'm going to work today and I'm going to shoot someone. It doesn't happen. Queens and Gary, good morning. You're in WABC.
Yes, good morning, Dominic. I have 2 points. I think Donald Trump thinks people are stupid. First of all, you know, I thought it was very insensitive how he talked about that reporter. And he comes out with a statement, oh, I'm not making fun of this guy. You know, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not making fun of this guy. You know, I spend millions of dollars to make my buildings accessible to the handicapped. But hello, that's the law. So he's not doing anything out of his heart. The second thing, with the thing in Chicago, I find it very curious that there's recordings, there's part of a recording missing. I understand that a Burger King manager came forward to the media and said that the police department came to review the video at his restaurant, and now that tape has disappeared.
That is one of the reports that's out there.
Yes, and plus, Chicago has a history of this stuff. This is nothing new, you know, so I don't hear too much talk about that for all these people that says, well, I'm sorry that he was shot, but why don't they talk about this issue? And that's all I got to say.
Okay, well, Gary, let me ask you this question before. Mm-hmm. Are you African-American?
I most certainly. Last time I checked.
Here is my question, and I'm just gonna throw it at you. Am I the only person of color that is? I'm not excusing what allegedly this officer did. As when I say allegedly, as it relates to the criminal element, and he's been charged with murder one. But am I the only one that also notices that this young man, apparently, based on the autopsy, had drugs in his system, a knife in his hand, and was vandalizing property?
Well, that is true. But as the gentleman said earlier, anytime you have the coroner or the medical examiner in the city who gets paid by the city, who works with the police officer, I'm very suspicious. That's
Gary,
all I'm saying.
Gary, what? Also in Chicago, right? We're up in arms. People were screaming about this young man's death, and perhaps rightfully so. But also, as of this morning, as of today, a Chicago gang member, I didn't even bring up the black-on-black crime in Chicago, where it's the Wild West. But as of this morning, a Chicago gang member has been arrested, as you know, this situation for luring a 9-year-old boy into an alley and killing him as revenge to settle a beef with his dad. Where are the protests about the black-on-black
crime?
Okay,
well, listen, that's a conversation to have, but you and other people, I find anytime you bring up police misconduct, you always say, but what about this? What about that? To me, it's a separate discussion. I don't want to talk about some. Listen, I know it's important. I don't want to minimize that young person getting shot. But when you talk about police brutality, the conversation should be focused on police brutality. And Chicago, Illinois, if you Google, just Google, look up what has happened in Chicago over the past 20, 30 years. That department is very corrupt.
We got you, Gary. Thank you for the call. I'm Dominic Carter in for Geraldo Rivera this morning. The number is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Let's now go to David. David is calling us from my home borough of the Bronx this morning. Good morning, David. You're in WABC.
Good morning. Good morning. Did Donald Trump know this man was physically disabled?
Mr. Trump says that he does not recall meeting him. The reporter says that they were close, that at close is defined as when the reporter worked for the New York Daily News, he covered Mr. Trump quite a bit, according to the reporter.
Mm. Well, okay, so he physically saw him at one time. And
several times, several times.
Okay. Well, then he might be guilty there.
But 14 years ago. 14 years ago.
Well, he might have forgot. He might have forgot. Who knows? But this Chicago thing, listen, I think this is laziness on the cops. Listen, the guy had a 2-inch knife. He was 20 feet away. He was with another cop. All you have to say, listen, let's get this guy. Let's get out nightsticks. Let's hit him in the arm. Get this 2-inch knife off him. Take him down and arrest him for slashing tires.
Okay, David, let me ask you a question.
Come on.
Let me just ask you a question, David. That sounds good.
Wait, hold on. But cops used to fight people at one time. They used to, you know.
Okay, but David, that sounds good. You know, that's what happens in the movies. In the movies, you know, he has a knife. Let's use hand-to-hand combat and let's take him down. I'm just raising a hypothetical here. Hold on now, David. What happens if that young man lunges towards the cop shots are fired, but in the process of being in motion, he's able to continue with the stab, and now the Chicago Police Department has to call his wife and tell her that she's a widow. Then what?
Listen, when you go to the police academy, they teach you how to take a person down with a knife and how to take it. And you have mace, you have nightstick, you have stun guns, you have all kinds of stuff besides shooting the guy. It's pure laziness.
I hear you, David, and I thank you for the call, but let me just make this point. I used to make the same type of arguments with the NYPD. There has been no one holding the NYPD more accountable than I over the last 20-year period. If you just look at the record, the NYPD, its numerous commissioners throughout the years, sent me up to the police academy in the Bronx. I think it's called Rodman's Neck. And they put me in a situation in the where they do hypothetical situations. And I ended up shooting someone four times. And let me tell you, going in, I thought it was a joke, and it was just one big joke to me. Your adrenaline. Now, I knew it was a mock situation, but your adrenaline is going so fast in a matter of seconds. And so that's what ended up happening. Let me tell you something else that is a misperception, if you will, as it relates to police and shootings. I used to make the same argument. Why don't you shoot someone in the arm or in the leg? Well, first of all, you have major arteries in the leg. And second of all, I was taught by the instructors at the NYPD, if they aim for the arm and miss, now you're going to hit an innocent bystander. They are trained at the police academy to aim for the largest mass of body. That happens to be the chest area, unfortunately. It's just the way it is. Let's go to Frank, who's calling from Flushing. Good morning, Frank. You're on WABC.
Yes, good morning, Dominic. I was just thinking that if anybody thought about Obama's ideology and intention, his goal really...
Wait, his intention as far as what, Frank?
Intention toward why not fighting ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Nusra. I mean, all indications shows he is preparing Islam for holy war, that called jihad. There is no other purpose for him not to do so.
I think most Americans, frankly, don't understand his strategy as it relates to Syria and so on. But this is the same guy that took out Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, but no. Listen, that was just as a camouflage to cover up what he has in mind. Osama bin Laden, it has nothing to do. There is thousands of Osama bin Laden, millions soon. The reason he did that just to show the world that we are fighting Islam, we are fighting terrorists. No, amigo, there is too many like Osama bin Laden. It has nothing to do just with one guy with Islam ideology. You're talking to a Lebanese Syrian Christian. And I was in Syria and Lebanon just lately. 2009, I left 2012. I heard all the stories. But I have a brilliant idea how you can drive all the radical Islam from America and Europe. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it, but I have to listen to it at another time, Frank, because we have to take a break here on WAB. WAB 1055, I'm Dominic Carter, in for Geraldo Rivera. We've been talking about Chicago, Donald Trump, the police shooting in Chicago. I understand the historical importance of protest. But as we speak, I mentioned another situation as it relates to Chicago, the black-on-black crime. Chicago is now the Wild West, but nobody wants to talk about it. That's too politically correct. We can't discuss. Don't talk about that, Dominic. You can't do that. That's not good. It's not cool. We have to talk about that behind closed doors. As we speak, the police in Chicago are also about to have a news conference. I mentioned that a Chicago gang member, the arrest for luring the 9-year-old boy into the alley and killing him as revenge to settle a beef with his dad. I mentioned that this morning. Well, the police are about to hold a news conference at this hour as it relates to that arrest. West Bob Babylon, Long Island, and Greg, good morning to you, Greg. You're on WABC.
Hey, Dom, how you doing? How was your Thanksgiving? I hope it was great.
It was well. How about yours?
Mine was wonderful. Kids, grandkids all over. Anyway, Dom, listen. I'm 63. I don't know how old you are. I listen, but I forget your age. You know, I think there became this mentality that I don't want to call it a thug mentality, but it's just like there's no respect anymore for the cops at all. I mean, bad cops, good cops, whatever you want to say. I'm involved with a lot of police. I have a lot of friends that are...
Greg, I'm out of time. You are 1,000% correct. 1,000% correct. Good morning. I'm Dominic Carter in for Geraldo Rivera on this Black Friday. Thank you for joining us. We hope you're having a fabulous day. Black Friday. Great tradition of shopping. But unfortunately, what's become an annual situation, brutal fights breaking out in several malls across the country as shoppers trade holiday cheer for violence. One mall that happened at is in Kentucky. Situation as it relates to Black Friday today, also a protest in Chicago, a large one that is expected in an upscale community regarding the fatal police shooting there. I had planned to move on in terms of topics, but lots of people want to continue talking about Trump and Chicago and Obama. So that's what we're going to do. Let's go to Mary. Mary's calling us from Manhattan. Good morning, Mary. You're on WABC.
Yes, hi, Dominic. I want to know, why don't you bring up that the cop had 18 complaints against him? Every time you talk about that young kid who, you know, he's on drugs, and why don't you bring that up every time you bring that up? I mean, are you forgetting that, aren't you?
Well, Mary, as a journalist, you bring up a very valid point. As a journalist, and that's what I am first, my job is to bring up the entire picture and let you...
Yeah, but the entire picture is they took a year. I heard Burger King, they have film of them, the cops, taking all the stuff. You understand? And plus, they paid the mother off, and he was awarded a state. She didn't even file a lawsuit. Nothing. They threw the money at her to shut her up. Eh? But you don't bring that up. And he had 18 complaints. I wonder why he had 18 complaints.
Mary, I have discussed the fact that the city quietly settled with the family the day after Mayor Rahm Emanuel was reelected a year
18
later.
18 complaints. Every time a criminal dies, you say he look at his record. Well, let's look at the cop's record.
Mary, everybody's record is fair game.
Yes. But you don't bring it up like you bring... I want to ask you something. I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, who was next to him? You remember the good thief? They call him the good thief who stole heaven. He was a thug, and he was the first one in heaven, a common criminal. That's what God thinks of a criminal.
Mary,
you understand?
Let's keep in mind...
You talk like them, like
Mary,
dogs.
Mary,
Mary,
I'm sorry. I couldn't understand.
Are cops? Remember Jesus Christ dying. You understand?
Mary.
The first one in heaven is a common criminal.
Mary, I thank you for the call. Let's keep in mind, Mary's right. We have to bring up the allegations against the officer as well. But they are exactly what I just said. They're allegations. They have not been proven. Those are allegations that were being investigated. Let's go to Brooklyn and Ray. Good morning, Ray. You're in WABC.
Good morning, Dominic. I want to bring up a few points. It will take less than 30 seconds, if you don't mind, to try to address a couple of things that you have mentioned. First, I agree with Mary to the point that usually the person who's dead is usually the one in trial, and the officers are usually somewhat given the benefit of the doubt. In regards to...
Let me ask you a question, Ray. Why was that officer at that location?
He was called in as many as other officers were.
No. Why was the officer in Chicago at that location?
He was there because there was a person, a distressed person with a knife in his hands that was running. Now, do you see the video? Do you see a person walking away from the police? And do you see the police that shot him was behind another officer that was somewhat shielding him? Now, if you talk about a person being disarmed with a knife and you still agree that he should have been shot, let's not even argue that.
I'm going to give you your say, Ray. It's not my contention, Ray, that he should have been shot. In a great world, there should have been another way in terms of all this technology that different police departments use across the country to disarm this young man. That's what should have happened on a better day. That's not the reality of the situation, Ray, of what actually occurred.
Okay, I understand that. What I'm trying to say, Dominic, is this. First of all, let's assume for one moment that the taser guns did not get there on time as the first officers on the scene requested them, because that was also part of the documents that came out. Let's just say that the tasers were not available at the moment for whatever reason. Point is, with the first two or three shots, the person was already on the floor. Obviously, you even saw the smoke coming out after the second or third shot from the body. The other 13 to 14 shots were just kill shots. So if the officer felt threatened, how can he feel threatened from a person with a knife laying down on the floor? What were the other 13, 14 shots were going to accomplish to make sure that the knife did not fly by on its own? Another thing that you keep mentioning, the black crime, I fully agree that it has to be addressed. But remember, what happens with the police shooting is that people expect hire from the police department, because police officers are hired to defend them, not to shoot them. And usually there's a correlation. If you look at most of the police shooting cases, there's usually previous allegations and accusations of those police officers. Those police officers have either been fired from other departments, have been accused of police brutality in other situations, but nobody addresses that.
Okay, Ray. And I got you, and I thank you for your point, Ray. You know, this morning, I would like to hear from some police officers. Police officers that put their lives on the line each and every day in terms of what they deal with. That would be nice to hear from the officers directly that are out there on the front line each and every day. I'm not out there. You're not out there. They're the ones that's got to go into these communities in awful situations. Long Island and Daniel, good morning. You're on WABC.
Okay, the difference from, y'all keep bringing up black-on-black crime. It's a difference. Look at the one in Staten Island. That guy got choked out live TV. If it was a black man that choked that guy up, he would have been fried. He would have been, put him away. When a cop does it, he gets off. Oh, it's okay. We just choked him out. It's okay. We couldn't hear him. He couldn't breathe or nothing. We just choked him
Daniel,
out.
Daniel, I understand that the case of Eric Garner is extremely highly charged and emotional. I have sat down and interviewed his daughter, his mother, his wife numerous times. If we're going to go there, then we have to point out the other side. The district attorney, and I'm going to give you a say, hold on, Daniel, the district attorney at the time, Daniel Donovan, who conducted the investigation, came back and concluded that the result was no indictment. And if you study the video in the Eric Garner, I'm not arguing right or wrong. The version that was put forth is that Mr. Garner resisted by one, not obeying the verbal command when he said this ends today, and the movement. Now, we could argue all day.
Okay, I got one more case. About the tennis guy, when that cop grabbed him and threw him on the floor, automatically he's a criminal.
Yes, you're referring to Mr. Blake, the former tennis person.
Right, the tennis person. Cop just rolled up and threw him on the ground. Automatically. Damon Acker, you fit the description? Can you put your hands? We're going to take you in. No. We're going to slam him to the ground and ask questions later.
Okay.
The picture they got from him, they got it after they arrested him to get a picture to calm his body down. Oh, he looked just like him. I think they got the picture later to match him. That's how I feel about the cops.
Okay.
They got a picture.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much for your call. We have a call on Obama, but we'll get back to that in just a second. The number is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Let's go to my home borough of the Bronx and say good morning to Lenny. Lenny, you're in WABC.
Yeah, good morning, Dominic. I really can't understand you and some of your callers. I'm 70 years old. 7-0. I did 2 combat tours in Vietnam. And let me tell you something. If you or anybody else had a 2-inch knife, I'll take it from you. Now, here's a policeman who's got a gun, he's got a baton, he's got mace, he's got pepper spray, he's got all kinds, plus he's got backup. And if he's afraid of a kid with a 2-inch knife, a 2-inch knife in New York is illegal. If he's afraid of a kid with a 2-inch knife,
Lenny,
how is he going to protect
Lenny, in your words, wait, hold on. In your words, Lenny, in your words, a kid, in your words, hold on, Lenny. Lenny, I'm going to give you, Lenny, I don't want to cut you off, Lenny. Your term is, and we're going to a police officer next who's also calling from the Bronx, but your term is a kid, quote, with a knife. How about a kid, hold on, how about a kid that's drugged out?
It's a 2-inch knife.
Okay, so because it's a 2-inch knife, that means that you can play. Wait, hold on, Lenny. Lenny, that means you can play G.I. Joe like in the movies and just disarm this young man?
Yeah, why not? Listen, how are you going to protect? How are you going to protect me? How are police going to protect me from a terrorist who's got an AK-47 and he's got a Kalashnikov and he's got all kinds of weapons? How is he going to, if he's afraid of somebody with a 2-inch knife, how is he going to protect us? Listen, like I said, if you or anybody else have a 2-inch knife, I'm taking it from you. And I'm 70 years old. I did 2 combat tours in Vietnam.
Okay, I got you, and I thank you for the point. Let's now go to a police officer who's calling from the Bronx. Is that correct that you're on the job?
No, I'm not a police officer. I was a probation officer.
Okay.
And you and I have talked before, Dominic.
Okay.
So I'm going to give the balanced side of this story.
Please.
Okay. In the Chicago incident, anyone that has a knife and has already been shown to have gone after property is eventually going to go after people. This kid was on PCP. That's angel dust. Angel dust, I've witnessed imbeciles on my caseload who are very violent when they take that crap. And even afterwards, when they go through drug treatment, they're still violent. This kid, it doesn't matter what the size of the blade was, he was already doing damage to people's property, and it was only a matter of time before he did damage to somebody like Mary or like Ray or like the other imbeciles that are calling up and saying, I'd rather see these cops get locked up rather than the Bloods, the Crips, the Latin Kings, MS-13, and the terrorists who are now going to be shooting up our malls. I don't understand what this war on police is all about, but I have to go all the way back to what Obama has been trying to do from day one when he called a Cambridge police officer stupid because his stupid friend Gates locked himself out, and instead of calling a locksmith, he went and tried to break into his own house, and a neighbor who was diligent enough to call the police because she couldn't tell who this guy was, she was doing him a favor by calling the police because somebody was breaking into her neighbor's house. All of the incidents that have been brought up is always symptomatic of this defense of the criminal element. Eric Garner, Michael Brown, you name it. All these guys had criminal records. They were violent individuals. If any one of these fools who call up today or yesterday, because I also listened yesterday, who they'd rather have defending them, it's not going to be Michael Brown. It's not going to be Eric Garner, all 6'3", 280 pounds of him, with 41 convictions on his record. You're not going to be telling me with a straight face or with a rational mind in your head that you'd rather have the criminal element defending you rather than police defending you. So I'm going to give it simple. Now I'm going to make it very simple even for imbeciles like Ray and Mary to understand. If you rather think that you're going to get a Blood, a Crip, a Latin King, MS-13, Al-Qaeda, or any of the other mutants that want to slice your heads off and think that NYPD is going to protect your sorry asses, try it and see what happens to you and then see whether or not you feel that it's better that we not have any law enforcement whatsoever, because that's the extreme that we're heading to.
Amen. It is time for a break. I'll be right back. Great. It's 11 a.m. Good morning on this Black Friday. I'm Dominic Carter in for Geraldo Rivera. We are discussing the situation as it relates to Chicago, the police shooting there. Major protests expected later on today in the city of Chicago. I understand the point of protesting. I understand the historical significance. But I also wonder, where is the enthusiasm as it relates to the topic of education, jobs, going to school, going to work, stopping crime within the community? Where's the same enthusiasm as it relates to that topic? Let's now go to Ralph. Ralph is calling us from Manhattan. Ralph, you're on WABC.
Well, it's become a verbal tug of war once again, Dominic, where you can't rationally, not you, I'm talking generalities, one can't take one side without being vehemently against the other. You know, this is not about being anti-cop. This is about telling the truth. This kid had a knife. He was slashing tires. So I guess he deserves to get shot for it, Dominic, because, you know, if we're going to go to that extreme where we shoot people for committing smaller, non-life-threatening crimes, and this kid, again, was no angel, Dominic. This kid was probably a bad kid. Did he deserve to die? I don't think so. And this is the idea, Dominic. Either you're for police or you're anti-police, and that's completely convoluted.
Ralph, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Obviously, no one would say that this kid deserved to die. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, Ralph. Would you sign off on this kid dating your daughter?
Oh, Dominic, you're really, that is unfair, but I'll answer you anyway.
I don't see why it's unfair at all.
Of course not, but again, we're talking about a life and death situation. We're not talking about something as innocuous as him dating my daughter. Here's the deal, Dominic.
You answer my question first?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want him to date my daughter because obviously...
Ralph, I'm not going to cut you off. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to say what you have to say. But I just want to be clear. Yep. So no one signs off on this young man losing his life. It's very tragic. The officer has been charged with first-degree murder, but you wouldn't want this guy to date your daughter.
Of course not, but I also don't want to see him dead. Do you know something? There could have been a way to possibly save this kid. I'll give you two guys that were killed that were obviously just killed unnecessarily. Eric Garner and the guy in South Carolina where they put bullets in his chest. I mean, in his back for no reason whatsoever. Now, any reasonable person would say, well, those two should not be dead right now. They should be alive. I am not anti-cop. I am for the good cops. I am against the rogue cops, plainly and simply.
Ralph, we thank you for the call. I had wanted to move on in topics, but lots of you still want to deal with this, so we'll stay on this issue. We're going to take a break. We'll have news headlines with Deborah Valentine, and we'll continue with your calls in just a moment. The issue of Chicago, police and community. Past 11:37. Good morning. I'm Dominic Carter in for Geraldo Rivera. 1-866 Geraldo. 1-866-437-2536. We are talking about the situation as it relates to the young man shot and killed in Chicago. Major protests expected today. We're also putting on the table the four police officers the NYPD lost in just 11 months. And also the issue of how it relates to police-community relations. Let's go to Jay. Jay's calling from Brooklyn. Good morning, Jay. You're on WABC.
He still got to go up an elevator because this is not the ground floor. This is a loading dock, so it's considered probably lower. So he still got to go up. We're going that area over there.
Jay?
Yes.
Jay, you're on the air. What are you talking about?
Yes, Dominic Carter.
Yes, Jay, you're on the air.
Listen. Yeah. Hey, I have something to say to you, man.
You got
to
say it quickly, Jay.
Yes. I'm listening.
Okay, Jay, you said you have something. Okay, I got to move on. Let's now go to Laura. Laura's calling from Harlem, I believe. Good morning, Laura.
Yes, good morning, Dominic. Dominic, I think the earlier part of the year, the earlier part of the year, I was listening to another radio talk show, and the issue was similar to this, but there was a retired captain that called in, and the radio talk show host that's conservative said to this retired the retired captain, he said, isn't there a very small, small percentage of corrupt cops? And the retired captain said, check out Internal Affairs. We want to believe that there's a very small percentage. So whether those that want to believe what I'm saying or not, this was his answer. Check out how Internal Affairs continue to grow. And in terms of the
okay, Laura, I'm not following you, but you got to get to the point quickly because I got to move on.
No, that is the point, that you continue to try to make these cops like, you know, they're all perfect. And this is what you continue to do, Dominique. You continue to, and the point is,
Laura,
there's a very, and let me just say this to
Laura,
you.
Laura, hold on 1 second. I'm not trying to make police officers perfect. All
Dominique,
I'm trying to do, Laura, all I'm trying to say is, here's the problem I have, Laura. And then I want you to comment on this. I just don't understand why is it we don't focus on anything else. I mean, look at the graduation rates. It's disgusting.
But hold on.
I don't see no protests in Chicago.
Hold up, Dominique. Say maybe you don't and say others. It annoys me when black people think they speak for all of us.
Okay,
no,
nobody speaks for all. Laura, nobody speaks for all of anybody.
And I also do for others, and there are many others.
Laura.
There's never any coverage with that. I want you to understand this, Dominique. Let me just say this. If there weren't people out there fighting, even though we don't get the press, because they don't want to hear that. They want to hear the negativity that goes on.
Laura, all I'm trying to say to you right now,
audience.
Laura,
that's what you do, Dominique.
Laura,
you need
Laura.
To stop.
I need to stop what, Laura? Well, thank you, Laura, and you have a great holiday. But all I'm trying to say, folks, is this. It's real simple. I can understand protesting. I get it. But how about protesting the way you're killing each other and little children in Chicago? How about protesting for education? How about being motivated to get your education? How about that? That's the only problem. That's the only point that I am trying to make as it relates to this situation. Let's go to Frank. Frank's calling us from New Jersey. Good morning, Frank. You're on WABC.
Good morning, Dominic. Thank you for taking my call. Really quick, I am a campus police officer in New Jersey. I went through the academy. I had a 25% dropout rate. It is not an easy academy to go through in any state. They always taught you, if you have to bring out your mace or your baton, the poop has hit the fan. That's why there's always going to be a human side of being a police officer and not have robots, because you have to make a judgment call. They will never teach you every situation that you are going to have. Also, as soon as I put on that uniform and went on the job, I was being judged, and I had a stigmata against me from the get-go. You know, they always thought I was going to be arresting people. I didn't let them have their fun. But you know what? I gave them respect, and they gave me respect. And it's not a very easy job to do. With the protesting, I'm all for, you know, freedom of speech. I'm also for the right to assemble. However, the people who are protesting are almost accepting the action of the person that they're protesting for. They don't mention why they're protesting that person and what he did. They're just protesting that what was happening was wrong. And that's right. There is wrong, but there's also a way to handle that.
I thank you, Frank. You are so on point when you say there's a way to handle it. Let's go to Carteret, New Jersey, and Linda. Good morning, Linda. You're on WABC.
Hi, Dominic. How you doing?
Hi.
I'm calling with reference to, I mean, you're talking to deaf ears because people don't want to hear the truth. They want to call up and bash the police like your friend there, Ralph from Manhattan, who's supposed to be an actor. You're right. The last time he acted was probably in kindergarten. That guy calls up all the time, whatever the situation is, knocking the cops. Now, this cop is going to be prosecuted or whatever's going to happen to him. It's going to happen. But he's one cop, Dominic. One cop. And they give the attitude, the feeling that all cops are bad. Now we got a war on cops. these people should get out there and try to do the job of a cop. Hey, Ralph, put your script down, your acting script down, and go outside and try to be a cop. He acknowledged himself that he walks the other way when he sees trouble. Cops can't do that, Dominic. They can't walk away. They got to confront the kid with the 2-inch knife. They got to confront everybody with the guns and everything else. So I'm sick of hearing these people, and especially this guy Ralph. You know he's connected with the racist radio station there could be in New York, WPAT. They're so racist there, and he's connected with them. When he calls there, he's totally against cops. When he calls you, he tries to whitewash it a little bit, you know? So your message is perfectly clear, very good, but they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear it. They just want to knock the cops.
Linda, let me make this point to you. One of the most difficult things that I have had to do within the last year is extremely difficult. I'm not good as a journalist covering funerals.
Oh, no.
And I've been to two police funerals within the last couple of months. One was for the 25-year-old officer that was shot in the face.
And
the funeral.
We had one in Jersey City, too. Remember that?
Right. That's right. And
for no reason. Boom, boom,
and until you've been at a police officer's funeral where there are 10,000 cops there and they all look like they're about to cry, like they've lost their best friend.
They did lose their best friend. Yes, you're right.
And until you've been in that situation, and until the one in East Harlem, the cop where his family's from, Guyana, and so on.
Yeah.
Until you've been in that situation, it's one I could not look in, and I had to try and interview them, and I couldn't look in their faces. It's the worst feeling in the world.
Yes, because, Dominic, after they bury that cop, these cops still have to go out there and do their thing. And they don't know, like I'm talking about the one situation in Jersey City. The cop just arrived at the scene to try to check out what was going on, and he was blown away. So they never know tomorrow what's going to happen. So these people that want to bash them, don't bash cops. Bring up the one situation. Now, I know we're talking about this one cop that killed this 16-year-old boy. You know, you made a very good point. One of the callers, I think it was Dino or whatever his name is, said that boy with the knife, tomorrow he might have used that knife to kill somebody. So he put himself in a situation, although he was 16, it's hard to, you know, to disagree with the fact that, I mean, after all, he's 16. But other grown-ups, you know, adult people put themselves in situations where they wind up getting killed. What are you doing? What for? You're black. You came up the hard way. Why can't others do it? It's excuses after excuses.
We thank you for the call. Let's now go to Carol, who's calling us from Garrison, New York. Good morning, Carol. You're on WABC.
Good morning, Dominic. I know you're having a hard time this morning. I would suggest that all three of the cases that you're discussing today, plus Professor Gates, who should know better, could have been avoided if they respected the cop's orders. So respect at home is where it starts, not after the person is killed, and then they want to go after the cops. No, they want to be out on the, demonstrating, and they should be home teaching their kids. I had two sons. They were getting in trouble from time to time, but they were taught to respect the cops, which they did. You know, kids, boys especially of a certain age, Dominic, are prone to get into situations where they could be confronted by a cop. And if they obey the cop's orders to stop, stand, put your hands behind your back, whatever, they should do it.
I agree with you, Carol, and I thank you for the call. And your point is right on point. Time for a break. We'll be right back here on WABC. We are back here on WABC. David in the Bronx, good morning to you. David?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
This is not David. This is James.
James, I apologize. Go ahead, James.
No problem, James, calling out of the Bronx. My point was, you know, I understand. I grew up with this era of the 60s and the 70s. And I know, basically, we identify the problem, and then we beat the dead horse. Identifying the problem, that's one thing. Nobody's talking about solutions to the problem. It's what we need to be more focused on. How do we stop the inner city youth, you know, blacks, minorities, everything else that's going on, doing crazy stuff, confronting the police and everything else like that. And maybe there's a few rogue cops out here, but police are human too. They go through the same ups and downs that we go through. We don't know what's in their mind at the time that they confront the people that they confront and everything else like that. You know, the problem is the problem. But what about the solution? What are we trying to do to fix this stuff from happening? What do we do in the inner city communities that we could create some type of rhetoric or some type of activity or something to stop black youth from going out here doing crazy stuff?
James, couldn't agree with you more. You are correct. We need the solution to the problem. David in the Bronx, good morning. You're in WABC.
Hi, good morning. It sounds like you and maybe others are saying that a cop's life is more valuable than a citizen's life. A cop's life should be grieved more when they die than
That's not what I'm saying.
Hold on.
David, you hold on. That's not what I'm saying at all. I've been to police brutality victims' funerals that are heartbreaking. I've been to police officers' funerals that are heartbreaking. Continue.
I understand. And yet because somebody doesn't obey you, it doesn't mean you have the right to shoot him because he disobeys you. If you're a cop.
Okay, but wait, David, see, this is why I'm confused. So a teenager with drugs in his system, apparently, and a knife, that you define that as not obeying?
Well, I heard some callers say they disrespect cops and they don't. He put himself in this situation.
I got you.
He put himself in the situation, but it doesn't give you the right to shoot him. And he was 20 feet away. He wasn't even close to the cop. So I don't understand. Thank you.
I thank you for the call. You know, it's a situation where the last couple of callers have made it clear. There is no clear answer to this problem. We've got to figure this out, folks. We've got to figure this out. I hope that you enjoy your Black Friday and have a beautiful weekend. And I will be back on Monday for Geraldo. And I look forward to it. Have a great weekend.